In the past couple of Sundays, we learned that Jesus was involved in public ministry for 3 years, and we talked about what he had done for the people. First, he taught. His teachings were full of truth, grace, and wisdom, and are priceless even today, that it would be tragic of us if we do not tap into Jesus' teachings in the Bible. They are all recorded in the Bible, and that's why I urge every one of you to get into God's Word, so that you may be fed by, so that you may live on Jesus' teachings. The second thing Jesus did in his public ministry, he preached. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. I said that is to come in the future. Also, that is here and now. While we are waiting for a kingdom of God to come with Jesus' second coming, we live out God's kingdom here and now by keeping Jesus' word. Kingdom of God starts right in your heart. We also live it out by ongoing repentance, I said, of our sins, and also the forgiveness of each other's sins. In a sense, we are living out the kingdom of God here and now as a practice, so that we're going to live forever in the presence of God. Now, today, as part three of my series and the conclusion of my sermon series, I'll speak about the healing ministry of Jesus. Once Pastor calculated how much time Jesus spent during his public ministry for healing of the sick. And he claimed that about two-thirds of Jesus' time was devoted to healing, and the rest one-third was devoted to teaching and preaching. Just for this reason alone, it is worth our time looking into the healing ministry of Jesus. Now, after a careful study and research on this topic in the Bible, I realized that there is no way for anyone, including myself, to cover the entire subject of healing ministry with just one sermon. There is no way that I could cover all. Therefore, what I'm going to do this morning is that I would focus on the following two things. Number one, divine healing is still available in the 21st century. Number two, what we need to bring when we seek God's healing. What we need to remember when we ask for God's healing. Let me begin with the history of the divine healing in the scriptures. Throughout the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, we see God healed his people. The God whom we worship and serve is the God of healing, the scripture says. Have you ever heard of the name Raphael? How many of you heard of the name Raphael? It's typically the Italian background people have it, Raphael, right? Did you know that it is in the Bible, Raphael? By the way, what's that meaning? Whenever you hear the word ends with L, E-L, or begins with E-L, it's coming from the Hebrew word God. The Hebrew word Rapha means to heal or cure. So if you add L at the end, it means that healing God, the God who heals, Raphael. Let me give you a little bit of Hebrew lesson since I started it. You know, Christmas time we always hear Immanuel, right? Immanuel. E-L at the end, once again, refers to God. So Immanu means with us. And the end, God. So God is with us. That's Immanuel. Bethel. You heard of the name Bethel? Church, you know, Bethel Church, whatever. Once again, Beth means house, and El is God. So house of God, that's Bethel. There are so many other, you know, names like that. In Exodus 15:26, the Lord God declares, I am the Lord who heals you. Our God is the healing God. There are three examples in the Old Testament where God made people whole again. And there are more than three, but I'm just for the time's sake. First of all, God healed one time the infertility problem of women in the nation of Abimelech. Second, he also healed King Hezekiah's unknown sickness at the point of death. And he didn't, you know, God said, you're going to die. Okay, set your house in order. And King Hezekiah went to the Lord in his prayer and begged him, Lord, I'm not ready to die yet. And God here heard his prayer, and he added 15 more years to Hezekiah's life. Third, God also cured a general, modern-day Syria. Syrian general, whose name was Naaman, who was a leper. And God healed him as well. What about Jesus our Lord? He also healed many people, the scripture says, during his ministry on earth. He even raised the dead more than once. In fact, the scripture says that Jesus healed every kind of disease. To name the few, he healed the people with paralysis, hemorrhage, and blind, and deaf and dumb, and dropsy, and epilepsy, and leprosy. He also healed the people who were oppressed by demons. He came to set people free from the bondage of sin and death, as well as pain and suffering. What about after Jesus ascended into heaven? God's healing ministry continued in the early church, this time by the hands of Jesus' apostles. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. First of all, you heard of the name Peter and John. One day, they were going up to the temple in Jerusalem to pray. It was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At the time, at the gate of the temple, there was a man born lame. From his birth, he was crippled. So he was sitting there and begging for money from the people who were about to enter the temple. What, it can't be any better place in the world, right? You're going to in the church and this guy just, can you give me some? If you don't give, you feel bad about it, so you give. So he had a bad spot in Jerusalem. When the same beggar asked for money from Peter and John, this is what Peter said. Silver and gold have I none, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. The man stood up and began to walk, jump, and praise God. What about Paul the Apostle? He also did many healings as well in the name of Jesus. Here's one example. One time, he was on the way to Rome, and he was shipwrecked at an island called Malta, along with other 275 passengers. Now, in the island, he cured the father of the chief, the head of the island, and later on, the news spread, and guess what? Many others in the island who were sick with diseases, they came to Paul, and Paul healed them all in the name of Jesus and led the entire island to Christ. What about the churches in the first century? Yes, they too carried on this divine healing in the name of Jesus. For example, in the Corinthian church, some believers received the gift of healing and used it for the glory of God. For the next 2,000 years, the Church of Christ practiced and benefited from divine healing of the sick. Now here's the question for all of us to ask. Is divine healing still available in the 21st century in America? Some people say that it was a thing of the past, and no longer God himself heals the sick. Instead, they claim God uses doctors. Others like me disagree. Why? Because, in my humble opinion, God does not change over time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture says. The God of healing in the Old Testament still heals people today, and the same Jesus in the New Testament still sets us free from the demonic oppressions and ailments in our body and soul. That's why. Now, I'm a very practical guy. I don't just believe the Bible says so. I always want to test it. I want to just find out whether it works or not, okay? So for more empirical reasons, I ask the following questions for myself. Number one, have I personally experienced the divine healing? The answer is yes. I have, and in fact, more than once. Number two question, do I personally know people who are healed in the name of Jesus? The answer is yes, I do. Number three question, have I seen God's people healed in my own ministry? I've been a pastor for 25 years and serving three congregations. Have I seen God's people healed in the name of Jesus in my own ministry? Yes, I have. One time in Michigan, my first congregation in Michigan, we prayed for God's healing in the congregation. And guess what? For the next 18 months, we did not lose one single life. You may say, what's a big deal, Pastor Choi? It was a big deal because the congregation was quite aging and it was, you know, quite sick in terms of the physical health. Therefore, with all the fullest conviction, I can testify to you with all honesty that divine healing is still available to those who claim it in the name of Jesus. Of course, don't get me wrong, God still uses many other means of healing, such as doctors and nurses and medicine and medical technology, yet God still wants you and me, His children, to come and seek God's healing. Now, the rest of my sermon I'm going to devote, you know, the three things, essential things that we need to bring when we seek God's healing. First and foremost, God's will. Before you and I claim God's promise of healing, we must bring in our humble attitude, God's will be done. It's the foundation of every answered prayer. If you remember today's story, there are two individuals there, one leper and Jesus. The leper came to Jesus saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Did you hear? He said, if you are willing, Lord, you can make me clean. Verse 3, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. You know, it's more than just, you know, they wrote down the whatever they said. It's just there is significance in every single word Jesus said. He stretched out and touched the leper. In those days, leper, you know, if you're in any public place, they were forbidden in the public place to begin with. If you get close to any people, just few, you know, yards, you know, you have to keep the certain distance, safe distance, and you have to yell, unclean, unclean. Nobody comes to you. Nobody's supposed to touch to you, right? And to this leper, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Can you imagine what's happening? Not only that, Jesus says, I am willing. He repeated. So take this God's promise with you in your prayers and present it to Jesus saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole again like you did the leper. God's willing. Okay. Number two, leave no sin unresolved. Sin must be dealt before we invoke God's healing upon us, because undealt sins block the answers from God. Confess every sin you can think of before you ask God to heal you. Also, forgive your perpetrators. Forgive those who trespass against you, because an unforgiving spirit is a boulder that blocks the path to answered prayers. Number three, believe that God can heal you and He heals you. You know, after studying this, all this healing instance in the Bible, I noticed this. In almost every case of Jesus healing, He emphasized the importance of the person's faith. After Jesus healed the person, you know what He said? Go in peace, because your faith has saved you, made you well. Wait a minute. Jesus did it for me, but how come Jesus says your faith has saved you? You see, it's the two-way street. Jesus heals you, but at the same time, you must bring your faith. Or before He performed the miracle, another time He asked this question, do you believe that I can do for you? And the person said, yes, I do. Say to Jesus, yes, I do. Can we say it all together? Yes, I do. In today's story, think of today's story one more time. The leper said to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Say to Jesus, yes, you can, Lord. Let's say it. Yes, you can, Lord. Indeed. The scripture says that do not expect to get anything from God if you doubt God's ability. You know, as pastor, I frequent the hospital and pray for the patients, right? Often members and friends of the church. And about 90% of the time, I have a very good feeling about after praying for the healing. But there occasionally, after I prayed and on my way out from the room, I just cannot but think, I don't know whether the person I prayed for has more faith and trust in doctors than in God. Once in a while, I have that feeling. You gotta bring your faith. In fact, listen to Jesus one more time. He says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. What? Jesus says, believe that you have received them already, and they will be granted. Notice here the sequence. Believe first, and it will be granted. Not granted first, then you believe. No. Now, once these three conditions I talked about, you know, God's will be done. Second, leave no sin unresolved. And third, believe that God can heal you. Then we go to God in prayer for healing. Now, some people pray for God's healing once and it didn't work and therefore they quit. No. I think you should pray at least three times in a row. That's what Jesus did and that's what Paul did. Keep on praying. In fact, Jesus commands in Luke chapter 18 us to be persistent in our prayer until we receive it. Or until the Lord says, nope, there is reason why I don't grant your prayer request. Okay? Like Jesus and Paul. But that's another topic to talk about later on. So my prayer for all of you this morning is this. May God heal your body, mind, soul, and spirit. In the name of Jesus. Now, this is what we'll do. As I said, I'm a very practical guy. And I try to obey what Jesus commands us to do. Scripture commands us to pray for the healing. So what good is it I preach and you listen and go home and forget the rest of the year? Okay? So what I'm going to do is to invite the people to the altar here this morning in the following steps. First of all, we're going to take care of the things that we need to do. As I said, three things. And I'm going to say a prayer on your behalf, on our behalf. Okay? You don't have to worry about what to say. But after I say the prayer, I'm going to invite those people who'd like to be healed by Jesus, okay, who need the divine healing, come forward and stand here. What I'm going to do is that when you stand, I'm going to lay my hands on, that's a biblical command, lay hands on the sick and pray. And I'm going to say one simple sentence. I don't consider myself healer, but I would like to obey Jesus' commands. If you are interested in Pastor Choi, let me know your track records. Okay, how many people you healed and so on. I don't claim myself healer. However, what happened I can share with you. In Michigan, one time I prayed for, you know, parishioners, you know, for receiving the Holy Spirit, laying hands and prayed for them. And nothing happened, nothing unusual. Nobody just go crazy or something like that. I would thank God that didn't happen. But a month later, a lady whose name was Patty came to me. Pastor Choi, remember you prayed for us? And I said, I do. And she says, my ankle was cured. It was healed. She was going to have a surgery on her ankle. But after the prayer, her ankle was healed. So I said, praise God. Okay, another time, it happened near Manahawkin. And I prayed over the phone. And that's what I, my practice. You know, for a lady with high blood pressure in her eye. What do you call that condition? You have to go to the doctor and so on. So I prayed for her so that the pressure would be relieved from her eye. And otherwise she needed to get some procedure done. And about 2 weeks later I spoke with her and she told me it was cured. She didn't have to go through that thing at all. I'm not saying that every time I pray someone is healed. What I'm saying, I never knew. That's why I need to keep praying, you know, for everyone that are possible. And that's the whole idea of inviting you to come if you need the divine healing. What I'm going to say, one sentence. Be healed in the name of Jesus and amen. And that's all. We are just following what Jesus commands us to do with a simple belief that God can heal us. Okay? So let's pray together. And as I said, as I step down there and I invite you, those people who need the divine healing, step forward. Let's pray. Lord, you are the God of healing. You want us to be free from physical illness. If you are willing, Lord, you can make us whole. We ask for your forgiveness on everything we've done wrong. We forgive those who trespass against us, every single one of them. And we believe that you have already answered our prayers. We thank you and praise you for the healing. And have mercy on us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.